There ain't no man gonna invade my territory. There ain't nobody out there gonna mess with me. 'Cause I'm big and hard and battle scarred and getting long in the tooth. Desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm alone. I've been chased, I've been bit. Yeah, I'm alone. They like to shoot at me, but they miss. Yeah, I'm alone. And I ain't never been trapped. But things have got me cornered at last. I've been hunting, I've been tracking, I've been running since I was 3. Born in a Louisiana swamp, moved with the pack to Tennessee. Raised by black and white dogs to some country, some rock and roll. They said, now boy, you're gonna have to quit your howling soul. Staying up all night and chasing lassies by the moon. Laying up all day on the porch playing guitar.
Lone Wolf, baby. He's a mean mother. This terrible Tommy here in the heartland, in the bunker, deep down underneath the rich soil of northern Indiana, down here where we can keep the cells full of some of our experimental people. We got Jerry the Jew over there. Yeah, he's still around. He's still around. Go ahead, Igor. Go ahead. Punch him with that stick. Shut up, Jerry.
You're gonna put somebody's eye out with that thing.
Stick him again. Okay. Well, Jerry's been quite an interesting subject there to experiment on. Yeah, we got him pretty young. Had him in a cage in a truck all the way back here from California and kept him down here feeding him, well, you know what those Jews eat, matzo balls and stuff like that. Actually, I think they eat a lot of bacon. A lot of bullshit about their diet. Most Jews eat bacon and all that stuff they're not supposed to eat. You know it. I know it. Yeah. Well, 21,000 workers are going to be laid off by General Motors, who refused to convert to small cars way back there when the United States decided to side with the Jews against the Arabs, and the Arabs got together and raised oil prices through the roof, and guess what? GM didn't go to small cars. They did a few, but they didn't do many. Kept with the big cars. Kept with the big cars right down to the very end. Yeah, guess what? Japan was all tooled up. Japan was all tooled up for small cars. So we gave the automobile business to Japan way back there, way back in the 70s. And a lot of you people don't know that the reason for that is because we sided with the Jews in Israel against the Arabs, against the other people in the Middle East and Egypt and so forth. So they fought back with what they had, oil, and they raised the prices. And you've been suffering ever since. That's right. 21,000 workers going to be out of work. And guess what? Probably 20,000 more with all the little companies that feed them materials. Maybe 10,000 anyhow. Little companies all over the place that supply GM with certain parts. Detroit is going to be the vast wasteland, one big black sinkhole. Most of Detroit's black population is not working at anything anyhow, except crime and drugs. And the people around, white people around Michigan, hell, they're all losing their jobs. They ain't going to be able to pay much taxes. Where in the hell's the tax base coming from? Huh? Well, you got to feed the nigger. I mean, you know, if you don't feed him, he'll riot. That's what business people are afraid of. That's why they've given him everything that he's gotten in the last 30, 40 years. Yeah, the threat of riot. It wasn't Martin Luther King that caused it. He was nobody. And if he hadn't been assassinated, he'd still be nobody. It was the black militants. It was the black nationalists who scared the shit out of the big boys and the corporations. Whites haven't learned that yet. If you want to get any place, you have to take on the corporations and the big boys. You have to make the CEOs afraid to go home. Afraid to get in their cars at night and drive home. See, the blacks learned that in Washington, D.C. They burned out a whole line of stores down the main avenue. And most of them were owned by Jews. The Jews got the message. So all over, they were burning things down, scaring the hell out of big business. So big business said, I'll give you anything you want, just don't burn us out. Whitey's never caught on to that. Whitey's never caught on to that. So who's smart here, whites or blacks? If every time they screwed white people, they go down and burn down a building for somebody that's causing it, you might get treated a little better too. Yeah, but you know, because you're law-abiding. I'm a law-abiding, like the right-wingers say. We may be the Ku Klux Klan, we may be the Nazi Party, but we absolutely deny any kind of feeling towards violence. We would never use violence. Well, if you tell your enemy you'll never use violence, well, he loves that. Sure, I like enemies that tell me they'll never use violence against me. If the JDL out there in California would have said, hey, Tom, we won't use any violence against you, I'd say, oh, that's good, Irv. I'll buy you a beer. But they never said that. They tried to use violence anytime they could. Got all the right-wingers. They even put it in their membership sheets. They have people fill out all these membership things. Tell all about yourself to give to these right-wing membership people. Your address, where you work, your name, Social Security, and everything else. And then you got to sign and say, I would never commit a violent act. Do you think that D's or ADL or the state security believe that shit? I mean, anybody can be driven to using violence. Show me the cowardest guy in the world, and I'll have methods that I can get that guy to commit some violence. Yeah. Anybody's ever seen a rabbit in a corner? A lot of people don't think a rabbit will fight. Well, a rabbit will fight under the right conditions and cornered. And they can bite like hell, too. We used to raise rabbits. Had to reach in those rabbit pens and pick them out, man. They get mad at you, take half your finger off, man. So I don't think sheep will, but rabbits will. I'll tell you one thing, a pig is smart enough to kill you. You run upon an old sow out in the weeds having pigs, you get too close, she'll come out of there like a wild boar and chew half your leg off. Most animals have sense enough to defend themselves and retaliate. They react. And they'll kill you if they can. White man's forgot all those things. Yeah. You know, I got a present from one of our guys, DVDs, called Fathead. And I must say, it's changed a lot of my views on this eating, and it does answer a lot of questions for me, because it was showing in this DVD that we've moved away from our traditional diet that we had for millions of years into some kind of a mostly grain and starchy and fattening crap. And we've been told that's good for us. But I think the guy makes a pretty good case on his DVD that's been bad for us. Now, I'm not going to quit talking about overfat people, but most of that is from drinking soft drinks and things like that, and not exercising, not getting enough exercise. Now, I try to walk at least 3 miles every day. I don't get it done every day, because sometimes I get busy. But even around the office, and I have a two-story place, and I go up and down those stairs at least 50 times a day. I haven't counted it, but I go up and down a flight of stairs at least 50 times a day. And that's better than I think most of the women do down at the gym, and then walk 3 miles. You should get out there and walk as much as you can. Now, I'm going to walk today, and I've taken Gorilla Radio Man's advice and put on my combat boots. He said, instead of going in tennis shoes, you should get used to wearing heavy-duty footwear, because if the crap really comes down, you're not going to last too long in the woods with tennis shoes or those kind of shoes. So need to wear some heavy shoes, and that makes your walk even more, a little more strenuous and a little more muscle building. Yeah. So that's about that. And let me announce that we have a new public access cable system going to run our Race and Reason shows. That's in Yonkers, New York. Public access. Channel 18. You can find it in your TV guide, probably. If not, just call them on the phone. But we're going to be on there Mondays, every Monday at 6:30 p.m. And we're on here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Mondays, too. I think it's 4:30 p.m. on Channel 57. And then we're on out there in New Jersey, too. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm going to have to get a list and announce it every time. So spread the word. And, of course, our old standby, Central New York White Pride, they've been putting our show on for, well, this is a lady. This is a real fighter soldier lady. She's been putting this show on for years and years. Yeah, she's been doing a great job out there in, I always want to say Albany, but it's not Albany. Just a minute here. She's at Syracuse, New York. She got half sore at me because I was saying Albany, New York. Yeah, it's Syracuse, New York, and that show's been on there for a long, long time. And if you want to get it, you better get into the act and start putting our show on around the country. I even got some old Herbert Poinsett shows that we've salvaged. And unfortunately, some of them got lost. We know where there's a whole bunch more that are under the control of the Farm Belt Fuhrer up there in Nebraska. But we've asked and asked, and we haven't been able to get any cooperation. Sometimes people in the right wing think everything you do, you're trying to make money. We're not trying to make money. We just want to get a hold of the masters of Dr. Poinsett shows, turn them into DVD before they totally disintegrate the tape, and keep them for posterity. But it seems like every time you ask somebody in the right wing, whether they're a Nazi or Klan or who, they always think there's money in it, or you're trying to get something over on them or something. So, unfortunately, we've been unable to get those from the Farm Belt Fuhrer, whose name is Gerhard Lauck. Now, I announced the other day that due to the hard work of one of our lone wolves out there, he has supplied Gorilla Radio Man with a book, a manuscript, with how to stay alive and how to maybe help other people not stay alive. Well, anyhow, I've got it here now, but it's in manuscript form. I'll just send it to you, print it up on 8.5 by 11, front and back, And I think we ought to get about $18 for that, because it's not too cheap to print them at a local print shop. So if you want that, $18, and it's endorsed by Guerrilla Radio Man. He likes it, so it's got to be good. It's got to be good. Just ask for the, what was the title of that? I don't have it right in front of me, but to say the Guerrilla Radio Man Manual. How's that? Okay. You know, I was looking at a book and listened to a lecture the other day from a guy who wrote a book called How to Build a Dinosaur. Very interesting that birds are ancestors of the offspring of dinosaurs. Tiny little birds came from the dinosaur group. And he was showing and talking about how if they get the right genes, they can actually reconstruct and gradually build a dinosaur, recreate a dinosaur by going backwards instead of forwards. Well, I got to thinking about that. Well, how about how to build a Cro-Magnon man? Now, Cro-Magnon white man had a 10 and a half ounce brain, bigger than our brain today, and he looked like us, supposedly. Now, what if we could get the right genes and recreate a 1,000 Cro-Magnon men? You think that would wake up the Jews? That would even wake up the SS out of their graves. What do you think about it, Darth?
Impressive.
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive, too. Yeah, I did. Well, let's see here. What have we got going now?
What is thy bidding, my master?
Well, go over there and kick the shit out of Jerry the Jew just for fun. How about that, huh? Igor's been on vacation. He's looking after the bunker out on the West Coast, so haven't had him here to tease old Jerry the Jew. Yeah, and I'll tell you, he don't like it either, I'll tell you. Shut up, Jerry.
I said no.
Oh, I didn't ask you for anything.
It's broken. Are you happy now?
Your nose is broken?
The answer is no.
Get out of here. That damn Jerry sounds a hell of a lot like Ethel over at the bar. I don't know. Hope they're not related. I don't know whether we're going to be able to get those Guatemalan tanks up here because of this problem with the Mexican flu. I don't know where they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be able to get those tanks up here through Mexico. And I don't think the Mexican government's going to let us do that with this this greasy flu going around. And maybe we should call it Aryan flu because it's doing us a favor. Maybe it'll thin out the population of Mexico before it thins out the population of the U.S. And their first victim of the flu down in Texas. And I'll bet you, it was a Mexican kid. Yeah, the first victim is from Texas. We're down there in Texas. I mean, in Texas. And was a small child. And I'll bet you anything, that child was a Mexican. What do you want to bet? And do you see how quick that crap turned up in New York and all the big cities, like I said? You see, that's how fast these people travel. They're getting on an airplane in Mexico City. They're in New York in, 3-4 hours? They could be in Africa, from Africa, any place. Sick as hell. As long as they can hide it. And I don't even think they'd be stopped, even if their nose was running, their eyes were red, and they were wobbling around. I don't think the airlines would stop it, because you know why? They're greedy. They want to make money. Like Khrushchev says, we'll sell you the rope. That you'll sell us the rope that we'll hang you with. Remember that? TT, I was recently traveling through Cincinnati, and I want to comment on some things I saw. Cincinnati is still majority white, but there are some nigger hoods popping up all over the area. Yeah, there's quite a number in Cincinnati. What really stood out was driving through the suburban areas and seeing a whole ton of businesses based in regular houses. Most of the proprietors don't even live in the house. It's as if they opened up an office right in the middle of the burbs. Speaking of suburbs, one of the reasons they became so popular in the first place was white people still wanted to work in the cities after integration, so they used economics to segregate themselves. If white people are moving their businesses into white suburbs, then that can mean the city is getting too dangerous for whites. Duh, of course. If white people won't take care of the race problem, then we're just going to have to keep moving from the cities into the suburbs, into the country, and so on, as if we're on a never-ending treadmill. No, you've run about as far as you can go, boys. You're going to have to either fight or die. You know, this running shit is about over. You don't have much longer to relocate and dig in. That's why I relocated about 3 years ago and dug in. I'm not going anyplace now. Driving through the downtown area revealed there really are a lot of muds living there. But something else caught my eye. I saw a group of white people dressed up in colonial outfits protesting the government while holding signs saying, "End the Fed." Well, we sure want to end the Fed, buddy, that's for sure. We don't need a federal government. It's our worst enemy. In all ways. What is the federal government doing that's any good for you that you couldn't do for yourself? Not much. I don't think enough to make it worthwhile. Were these people fanatically racist lone wolves I saw? I don't know. But they were fermenting distrust and resentment of the federal government, which is always a plus for us. Well, I would only get excited if I went down there and I saw them showing up with guns and pitchforks. I even saw the Gadsden flag, "Don't Tread on Me," flying in several locations, so that's got to show that people are getting fed up with the Iron Heel. But fed up doesn't mean they'll do anything. Fed up does not mean they'll revolt. Fed up does not mean they'll come out blasting. Fed up does not mean they're ready to hang congressmen and senators and CEOs. That's Tommy speaking. If this economic depression really does hit, hey, it's here, buddy, already. We're going to see this whole thing explode since the government held us back from protecting our own people for so long. Until then, keep your powder dry. Well, I don't know. Will they rise up or won't they? Or will it just be the last gasp of a few of us standing in the breach? Well, I'm always impressed by how few people it takes to really cause something big to happen. I mean, look at our own American Revolution. You only had less than 1% involved at any time of the Revolution. And in the beginning, there was at Concord Bridge, on the first when the first shot was fired, it was only maybe 100 guys or less. But within a couple of days, there were hundreds and then thousands coming in there with guns to fight the British. And the Alamo, there's been all kinds of situations where a few men did a hell of a job. And I hope some of those ideas are still in the brains of some white people. I don't know. I think there is, because there are a lot more guys getting arrested and they're not talking about it for so-called hate crimes. I'm starting to get more information in that they're not releasing much except in local papers. That there's a lot more guys standing up and blasting than you think. So, we'll see how that goes. Well, that's enough of me blabbing. Let's get on to the show here and get on to Guerrilla Radio Man. So, I hope I've got the right show here. Some of our numbers are a little screwy here, but we're going to go with Tape 11, Program 21, and see if... I don't think I've run this before, but I know you'll give me hell. Wait a minute, here's another tape here. Whoa. No, we got to play Tape 9, Program 18. All right.
Y'all boy! Defend the clan, the tribe.
The best defense is a ruthless and brutal offense. If a man stands in front of you who intends to do you great bodily harm, he has a fierce countenance, a look of hate in his eyes, and a menacing posture. Will you wait until you're shot, stabbed, or clocked in the face for validation that you're in danger? Self-offense dictates that if you feel like your existence is threatened, you strike first. Skjoldborg, shield wall, defend the race with a ruthless offense. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf, underground gorilla, white pariah, white werewolf, white Aryan resistor, Ghost Wolf Radio calling in the name of Skjaldborg, Old Norse for shield wall. Once again, this is tape 9, program 18. I think I put a typo on the last tape, on tape 8. I believe I wrote down on there that there was program 17 on there, but that should not be right. It should be program 15 and 16 on the last tape. And this tape has program 17 and 18. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network, all headed by the ever-evolving, forward-looking Tom Metzger, who can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Send the guy some money. Borrow some CD or some DVDs on training. You should always be evolving. Let's try new tactics. I can count on you Radio Club listeners to try new tactics. Trying to get people who are in other parts of the white separatist movement to try new tactics, it's like pulling fucking teeth. And that's a goddamn shame. We need to apply new tactics. This is March 24th. I'm recording this. When you'll hear it, I don't know. 7:30 in the evening. Obama's on my TV screen talking about economic issues. To hell with the system. Death to the system. If you don't want that, you better do some soul searching and find out what you're really about. Know yourself, Socrates said. Few men ever do. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you are listening to this show as a source of entertainment, I can't reach through the computer screen and shut off your computer on you. I can't come to your house. I don't even know who you are out there who listen to these shows for entertainment. Or you listen to these shows to spy on us. Either way, fuck you. I will be as abrasive as I possibly can to keep you from being entertained. You want to get pissed off? Because I seem to be disrespectful? I only have respect for those who are active. Who are active in a very influential way in the realm of new tactics. Those that manifest carpe noctem. Lone wolves. I'm going to read something to you here. I'm I'm not starting from the beginning. It's like way into the, towards the end of it. I don't know why this caught my eye, but I guess I'll share it with you guys. It's dealing with the Operation Condor, and it's about this little story about a National Socialist little regime taking place in somewhere in South America, being established by a lot of the Nazis who fled Nazi Germany, who made it there, and them developing a training camp for white guerrillas to go throughout the world and doing things. So I'm way advanced into the story here. The next morning, these Aryan warriors would depart for their long journeys home. They had all successfully completed the 2-month-long commando course. Now it would be time for these neo-Nazis to put into action what they had learned. All 24 soldiers of the 4th Reich of Condor Legion, that's their moniker, as they were to be known, were awakened at 5 a.m. to the sounds of Horst Wessel, the Horst Wessel song. They all had to get up early as it was a long trip back from the colony Thule to the various airports they would be flying out of. Once back home, they would either operate as lone wolves or in groups assigned to them. They would gradually recruit other trusted comrades from different NS organizations. That is a fucking pipe dream. Each cell has to remain totally secret, and no new members were to have any knowledge of its missions or people. Only the original 24 would know each other and would be able to make contact when needed. In this way, they could be assured of their secrecy. You know, I don't want to be the ever negative person, always negative. That's great. Just, you know, makes for great reading and a story of white racist revolutionary action. But I don't know if we could put together anything like that. We would have to have a group of guys that we've known for years, and we would have to set it up in a way that each person's got dirt on the other person. Each person has to be in that cell or in that group bonded by blood, meaning they have to watch. Each person has to be accounted for a bloody action. If one guy ratted on the other guy, he's still going to do time. I think of the hitman for John Gotti, Sammy the Bull Gravano. You know, he's in witness protection now. He clipped over, what, 25 guys? And I don't know how many years he did. 2 years or so, because he turned state's evidence. As long as the system is as powerful as it is, I just don't see how we can feasibly have a cell where guys won't get sold out. Now, what is different from us and some entity of organized crime is that really the only loyalty Sammy the Bull had with John Gotti and vice versa was all based on finance, money, you know. Sammy was a good earner for Gotti, and he was an advisor. He was a, what's that word, consigliere? And I don't even know if I'm saying that right. You know, but I'm sure that relationship wouldn't have been as tight as it was if there wasn't a lot of money involved, a lot of earning. We're not in this for finance. We're definitely not in this for finance. None of us are getting rich. Think of the money that David Duke gets. He says he's going to speak somewhere and somebody says, somebody pays in advance $75 a plate for the dinner and the seminar or whatever for the speech. He gets the money and a lot of people have so much money to burn that they don't even show up for the actual event. Who's the other guy who writes all these books about Hitler and stuff? English guy. guy's name escapes me right now. Michael Irving or something like that? Irving? I don't know why. I can't remember his name right now. David Irving. God damn, I had to pause the tape there for a minute. You know, he packs him in. He was in town in Chicago, I think, last year, talking about the how history would justify Hitler or something like that. And it was $150 or $135 to go hear him speak and for the dinner. And it was a nice, ritzy place. But David Irving's not hurting for money. Yeah, he's an accomplished author, definitely. But David Duke's not an accomplished author. I mean, he wrote one book. This guy's not hurting for money. And look at Metzger. You know, got a shoestring operation going on out of Warsaw. This guy's definitely not getting rich off of any of this. Lone Wolf Computer Man or Wall Street, myself, we're not paid for these shows. We do it because we are fiercely led by an ideology that will give us no peace because we see the danger. And that's what keeps me radical, if you want to call me radical. People who know me real well, they think I'm radical. Well, I'm radical because I cannot escape from the reality of the extinction of the white race, which is not hyperbole, it's not an exaggeration, it's not some ploy for books and other organizations to sell their stuff. It is a reality. All I got to do is look at a map of Chicago and look at the look up on the map of my former neighborhoods. I lived in Brighton Park from 62 to 69. And I lived in Gage Park from 69 to 76. And now they're all mud shitholes. They're all barrios. Gage Park has some ghetto to it, some hood. Wasn't the hood when I was there. It was a nice white working class neighborhood. I see niggers everywhere now. I see niggers out in the western suburbs of Chicago and DuPage County that I didn't see 10 years ago. They are everywhere now. But it's not just the niggers. I mean, the fucking Pakistanis, the Hindus. We are being evaded. The non-white world who thinks they're equal to us because some fucking Jews put it in their head that they are equal to us. And some white sellouts like Edward Deming went into the Asian world and preached quality over quantity and revamped their assembly system, and then, you know, and now all of a sudden they're putting out quality. I mean, you know, the Asian mind, they are disciplined. I don't believe they're as smart as us, but they are disciplined. So in a sense, because they're disciplined, they can study things over and over again and get to learn things that we developed that come natural to us, but because they have the discipline to study, they can learn it too. But for us to make contact, I mean, this is the America we live in. And if you think you're going to make contact with any NS organizations, or you're going to contact people, you know, who put their email address out there saying, hey, I'm looking for true revolutionaries, now's not the time. We got to have the system to become severely weakened for us to even think about doing that. All right, each cell was to remain totally secret, and no new members were to have any knowledge of its missions or people. Only the original 24 members would know each other and would be able to make contact if needed. Okay, the title Condor Legion would eventually surface and be made known to the press and public. This would be the only thing made public, it being a new neo-Nazi action group. Unity is the key to victory, but secrecy is also. The element of surprise and fear is needed in terrorist operations. Well, that's definitely true. If I'm trying to win respect to the white people, you're just fucking barking up the wrong tree. The white race does not deserve our respect. I mean, individual accomplishments. I mean, you know, the guy who developed the the satellite that was going to smash into that meteor. It did this back in the 90s, I guess. There was a team of white scientists who were part of this. There may have been one Asian scientist. I don't remember exactly, but... And for them to study meteors and get close-up shots of it, and they found out what this... I think the name of the meteor is Apophis. It's shaped like a potato. And it's a global killer for whatever impacts for us. But they know its whereabouts at all times now. I mean, that's... I guys who do stuff like that, I have respect for, but the white race as a whole, they have failed us. So, politicians, diplomats, bankers, communists, leftists, Jews, etc. would all be potential targets. The enemies of the Reich, whatever, and the Aryan race would be dealt with over a period of time. You know, I know I sound disrespectful about that, but too many of our people are living in the fucking past. I just don't understand what the attraction is of Nazi Germany to so many people. We don't live in Germany in the 1930s. We're not living in a country that's still overwhelmingly, predominantly white and only has really a Jew problem. We are living in a country where MUDs have millions and millions of people. MUDs of every stripe. As well as a Jew problem. As well as a rich white Gentile problem who has sold us out. What we are facing now in the Jew-nited snakes of sold-out America is much more worse than what Germany had in the 1920s. Even though the German stock market crashed in, 23? And the German Deutschmark, you could have a wheelbarrow full of them and wouldn't buy a loaf of bread. I understand that aspect was bad. But you know what? Even with an economic collapse, the German race will survive as long as they have their own homeland. You know, think of the Irish potato famine. Millions of Irishmen starved. Cromwell, I believe, was pretty much, he played a role in that also. All this white-on-white destruction. Pan-Aryanism has never been tried. Not even by Hitler. He doesn't count. He was pan-Germanism. Pan-Aryanism has never been tried. All the original Condor members were welcomed back to the colony at any time or if they were in danger of getting caught. The Academy would always continue to help them whenever they needed it. They would get whatever they need, they would get. Some warriors would eventually come back to reside in South America permanently and live and work at the colony Thule. T-H-U-L-E, Thule, or one of the other German colonies. These communities would have to be kept running as the elder ones were quickly passing away. Someone would have to take over and make sure all of the operations continued. ATVs brought everyone back to the small trail while we're talking about being back in South America now. Okay, within a few months, the public, the media, and many governments around Europe and North America will suddenly feel the wrath of the condor's bite. Police agencies and Interpol will be taken by surprise and astonished at their unleashed active neo-Nazi group. How about new active white Aryan group? Okay? But if something like this was to take over, I would support it. If there's a true, well-thought-out underground neo-Nazi network unknown by the system, which I do not believe exists, but if it did, I would support it. I would give my salute and honoring to the swastika. I would, if I was part of that underground network and I needed their help to get me to another part of the country or something like that, I would say a few Sieg Heils. I mean, I don't hate Hitler. I don't hate the Third Reich. I just wish that war would have never taken place. So, Interpol is surprised and astonished at the terror unleashed by this new active neo-Nazi group. Europe will be hit the hardest as this is where most of the actions were going to take place. I wish that was true. The incidents would make the Red Army faction... This would make the Red Army faction of Germany and the Red Brigades of Italy look like ordinary teenage street gangs. Not since the 1970s has a neo-Nazi organization been looked upon with such fear. Karl Heinz Hoffmann led a similar group back then called the Wehrsportgruppe Hoffmann, Military Sport Group Hoffmann. Hoffman's group was banned by the West German government on January 30, 1980. He went underground soon afterwards. Hoffman also did some commando training in the Middle East at a Palestinian Liberation Organization. He then went back to Germany and taught his fellow comrades the tactics he had learned from the Arabs. He got learned shit from the Arabs? Come on. The Wehrsportgruppe Hoffmann carried out some secret operations too, but on a much smaller scale. And it's just 3 months later, Europe, North America, there has been a shocking wave of violence against immigrants, Jews, blacks, politicians, and the police, the Popo, 5-0. What up, nigga? People have been killed by snipers, by car bombs and letter bombs. Businesses and homes have been set ablaze by arsonists. Remember, arson is a low-tech form of guerrilla warfare. And homemade bombs. Graves have been vandalized. That's a useless operation. Weapons stolen from different army bases and police cars ambushed on back roads. The list goes on and on. As you can see, the Condor Legion had gone into action. In a year's time, they will probably carry out 5 times as many operations. They are truly a force to be reckoned with. Beware all race traitors, leftist scum, commies, Jews, immigrants, illegal immigrants, government traitors, the Condor Legion is coming for you. That's great. Wish it was true. But, you can do your part, Ghost Wolf. All you have to do is just act on your own. And like I said before, the downside of acting on your own is that no one to hold you accountable. And it's easy for you to chicken out on an op. You know what? But you have to use your own judgment. If something doesn't feel right to you, don't go through with it. I remember one night, I had my route. I had everything going for me. I had the time. Walking to my objective, using the most coveted concealed route. It was 1:30 in the morning. I get an eyesight of my objective, and there's fucking couple semi-tractor trailers parked in the parking lot. I guess the truck drivers wanted to find a place to sleep, but yeah, I just didn't feel right about it. I mean, they were just, if they would have heard anything, or if they would have gotten in the cab of their truck, they could have saw something. I mean, I just didn't feel right about it, so I aborted. And I was pissed off. Remember, if you run away, you live to fight another day. But if you're in your 40s, you don't have a whole lot of time to waste. Because age will creep up on you. Bursitis, arthritis, you know, they're hindrances to doing anything active. I'm going to read a letter from Daniel DeVille. It says, "What I fight for, a racial homeland. Some people keep thinking it is my intention to overthrow this present Jewish-controlled nightmare of government to establish an Aryan homeland here in America. This is absurd. And to put it bluntly, anyone who thinks that we can, anyone who thinks that we need to overthrow the government and establish or reestablish this country as a white homeland is simply not thinking with a rational mind. This thought is crazy. I wonder why. I don't know if I can totally concur with that. Let me first explain why this idea should not be entertained for a split second before I continue with what my thoughts actually are. First, here in the United States, we currently have 20 million illegal Mexicans, not to mention millions of those that are legal. We have a population of at least 40 million blacks, I think they're more than that, and a complete total of at least 120 million to 150 million non-whites in all. Second, we are currently in debt over $10 trillion. Third, the United States has signed many treaties that do nothing but further destroy the country and economy, such as the North American Free Trade Agreement and the North American Union, not to mention almost all of our airports, seaports, and interstate and highway systems are now owned by foreign interests. Well, I don't know about interstate and highway systems. Let us pretend that we were given complete control of the U.S. government tomorrow. What logical thought does anyone have about what we should do, or even could do, with 120 million, oh, I say 150 million, non-whites? We can send all the Mexicans back to Mexico and ship all the Negroes back to Africa. Okay, let us examine this. This alone is 60 million plus, not counting legal Mexicans. How much do you think that a passage on a ship cost these days to send 40 million blacks back to Africa? Well, I don't propose that. I think we can carve out a living spot here in North America. But at the most, you know, that'd be doing it peacefully. But you're still not going to put their birth rates in check. You know, if they were to establish their own countries and things would lead into chaos, that would be good. But we got millions of non-whites in the north in Canada. We got Mexico to the south. I'm telling you, I am convinced as the day is long that we need to usher in an age of complete chaos. Not chaos as an end, but as a means to an end. You know, we create a situation where black, brown, and yellow can't leech off the healthcare system that the whites paid into, where black, brown, and yellow can't leech off the Social Security system because those systems have collapsed along with the government. There's no more grocery stores with roast beef, big chicken dinners in there. If we create an atmosphere where all those things are gone, you will bring about an age of something like a mass extinction. I mean, North America could be literally covered with dead bodies of black, brown, and yellow, and even white. And you know what? The hard will survive. The white race has become too soft. We cannot do anything about hardening up the white race anymore. We got limp-wristed white men everywhere now. These sensitive, sissy-ass white men are everywhere now. And if you're a member of the radio club, and you don't have a big mouth like me, you're maybe soft-spoken, and you feel other people's pain, but yet you're racially aware, that last statement is not directed to you. I'm talking about whites who do not care at all about the survival of the white race, that the concept of that is foreign to them. Believe me, I have family members that just don't get it. Most of my family members just don't get it. Either they're apathetic and I don't have the time nor the patience to explain to them what dire straits we're in. I won't do it. I spend all that time trying to explain it to them, and then they say, well, I won't go along with that. It's a waste of time. The time has come that we pulled the rug out from under the white race. You know, I want the white race to survive, but in a lot of ways, I hate my own race because of bad. It's just, you know, de-evolved. And I'm not going to hate the Jews and the rich whites only for that. I want more than anything to hold their feet to the fire, but you can't not let the white race be responsible for their own actions. You can't allow them to think, well, I didn't know. No, every fucking white person in this country knows something of the truth. They know enough to at least to research it. And you know what? Even if they've never heard of William Pierce and Tom Metzger and any other white organization, all they got to do is look at their society and see that they are being rubbed out. They have no excuse. So, you know, if you have a stomach for pulling the rug out from under the white race, I have to ask you, why not? You know, you can be loyal to your race by helping your race survive, but those that are doing nothing for your race are ones that are just steeped in negrophilia. Why should you be respectful to them? Why should you do anything that's cognizant of their feelings or their status in life? Fuck them. Either they get on board with us or they die. They die by black, brown, and yellow, or they die by us when Mad Max comes on the scene. I've heard many say, screw the debt and treaties. We didn't borrow the money or sign those damn documents. All I can say to this is read international law. Well, I don't give a fuck about international law. I care about international law when it comes to a white area in America and a white area in Russia. I want us to be on good terms with them, to have a federation of Aryan states. We can come up with new laws, new international laws, after we've won our countries back. Okay. If one government ceases to exist and a new government rises in its place, all debt and treaties are forced. Bullshit. How about honor no goddamn treaty or you know, China, you can keep all those dollar bills in your fucking banks. We want a worldwide collapse. We don't want Asia being the hub of all manufacturing. We want to make our own shit. We want Asia to starve. I mean, if they're going to keep breeding irresponsibly, we want them to starve. They want to do nothing about their population. Well, wait a minute, Frank, they got the one-child policy. Bullshit. Why is Hong Kong in the process of planning a sky city? A big pyramid fucking structure will be the tallest building in the world. In the planning stages now, it will be a literal city inside of a skyscraper with a very wide base and gets narrowed towards the top. It'll have its own parks. It'll have its own transportation system, its own zip code. Sky City, they're calling it. Does that sound like a race that wants to do something about their population problem? Absolutely not. Fuck Asia. They can fall on their sword for all I care. Okay. This even applies if the country falls apart and breaks into several smaller independent states as well. Such was the case in the former Soviet Union, that debt only divided between all existing newly created states. You know what? This shit right here is falling on deaf ears to me. I don't give a fuck about international debt. We can work something out. Because what I want to create in this country, I hope my associate, Mr. Neeson, wants to create in England. I hope that Schleichner wants to create in Sweden. I hope that Hans wants to create in Denmark and Germany. And I hope that Marusz Marek in Poland wants to create the same thing in Poland. I want Ivan to create the same thing in Russia. You know? I want Sergio to create the same thing in Spain. In Portugal. And our brothers in Iceland and everywhere else the white man calls home. Okay, the only way to avoid this mess is the establishment of a new independent state. I agree with that. Now for my thoughts of what I wish to do, I would like to find a geographical territory somewhere in the world that the prospects of separating it from its host nation will not only seem possible in time, but the demographics are workable as well. I do not care about the United States and believe that anyone that places saving their country over saving their race needs to leave the white nationalist, white separatist movement. I totally fucking agree. Leave the white separatist movement forever as they do not belong there. Absolutely right. My loyalty is to my race only. That's right. If an American boxer who's black is boxing a white guy from England, I want the white guy from England to fucking destroy him. You have to feel that way. Get the flag out of your face. The flag has been made to dupe us into being pawns for transnational corporations. The last refuge of a scoundrel is patriotism. I don't know who said that, but it's a well succinct saying. Incidentally, the biggest flag wavers in this country this time are the fucking Jews and dumbass Christians who live in middle America. How can you be patriotic for a country that sends your virile, healthy, young, white son to die in Iraq? Iraq was no threat to us. And neither is North Korea. I was in charge of this country. I would have dealt with North Korea a long time ago. There wouldn't be no threat. Because I wouldn't have Asians at MIT learning nuclear physics and all that shit. There wouldn't be no brown son of a bitches named Babu and Akbar and Muhammad at MIT learning that shit. That's our science, and we just willingly just give it away to the non-white world. And there's a very strong likelihood that they could use it against us. Has there ever been a race in the history of the world that sabotaged itself as much as we have? Absolutely not. And you can break it down even further. Has there ever been an ethnicity or a tribe or a clan that shot itself in the foot so purposely and with great effect as to bring their
tribes, their clans, their ethnicities to the point to the brink of extinction. Has it ever happened? I don't think so. What the fuck is going on with our people? That's why I'm telling you, I will not discount the possibility of audio subliminal message or programming going on in possibly your TV, the music you buy, the mainstream music you buy. It's totally within the realm of possibility. Okay. I do not care about the United States. I read that. No boundary stops this loyalty. Meaning our race is our nation, Orion. The only nation that I recognize is my race. Right on, brother. I am not interested in geopolitics, a geographical area to become patriotic to, no matter how just and fair its government is, but only as a means to sustaining the biopolitical unit, meaning our race. That unit is our race. I see it concurrently as the only viable way to improve the quality of our race. I completely understand that this geographical territory is not an end goal, but only a means to achieve this goal. And that goal is the survival and advancement of our race. For this, we first need to see ourselves as a nation. We don't do that. You ghost wolves can, and you don't need to network with each other to manifest that. We need men of ruthless action who belong to the Brotherhood of Ghost Wolves. And you know, you don't need to advertise that you belong to that. You'll know if you belong to that Brotherhood by something you do. Please don't put passing out flyers or going to a demonstration or going to a meeting with other white nationalists as your means, as your passage, your rite of passage into the Ghost Wolf Brotherhood. No. You have to do something that makes the streets come alive with sirens. That's right. Alright. For this, we first need to see ourselves as a nation, right? A unit composed of the whole of our racial community. It is certainly true that many ethnic tribes and larger sub-racial ethnic groups see themselves as a nation and have never had a homeland. The Jews are just one group until 1948, and that certainly did well to sustain themselves. Gypsies, Palestinians, and even black Americans see themselves as a racial nation. Yes, they do. The difference of these groups and that of the white race is that they all see themselves as part of a collective whole, regardless of geographical boundaries. That's true. Black men in America are very loyal to black men in England. But we whites were atomized and marginalized and dumbed down. It amazes me how a race that can walk on the moon would just give up on itself so willingly. Makes me wonder. Alright. The white race simply has been brainwashed to Marxist ideas of individualism and have never thought of themselves as a nation. The purpose that I see with the geographical territory for our race is that we can guide our youth with a new educational program to think, act, and operate as a whole, as a nation composed of the entire racial community for the betterment of the whole. I would not continue this Marxist dream of an educational system that is present here in the United States of America. Sold out America. Shopping mall America. I fully understand that before we can sustain ourselves and continue to ensure our racial survival, we first need to begin to think as a unit. Well, that's great, but don't network, Ghost Wolf. As a nation, this is obvious. Our entire belief system needs to be changed from this individualistic Marxist creed to a national outlook composing our race as our nation. We must think in terms of the folk. I know this with all my heart, but how does anyone propose to even begin to challenge the Jewish media control and programming that is being conducted every day with our MTV culture and Jerry Springer mentality? Well, I'll tell you what. The kind of whites I've seen on Jerry Springer, fat, disgusting, sweaty ass, rotted teeth. I'm not saying I'm a paragon of health and beauty or whatever, but come on. You know, if you won't take care of yourself, how the fuck are you going to take care of your race? If you live in a pigsty, how the fuck
can you be an example for the white race? It simply cannot happen. We cannot compete, nor could we ever achieve a racial unity belief system under this present system. I don't even think you should try. That's me speaking. We will need our own government working for our own needs. Well, that would never happen if this international system is still strong and in place. We will need our own government working for our own needs to re-educate our people. This is why I believe that a racial territory homeland is imperative to our survival. You know what? You start doing that now, believe me, Zohar will do something about that. I remember a couple years ago, I may have mentioned this on a show, but what the hell, I'll mention it again. It was on the nightly news that Dubuque, Iowa, which is right there in the northeastern corner of Iowa, the northern border of Iowa is more north than Illinois, but it's on the eastern part of Iowa, but the northwestern corner of Illinois is like right there by Dubuque. In fact, there's a town called East Dubuque, Illinois, right across the river, the Mississippi River. And World News one night, this is like, I don't know how many years ago this was. This is at least maybe 8-10 years ago I saw this on the news. And I got a great memory, don't I? That's right, because I don't fucking drink. No, I'm just kidding. You got to have a beer for that. But anyways, they did this story about Dubuque, Iowa, and it was like 98% white. And how blacks were trying to move there. And they were talking to this black guy how he felt unwelcome there. And there was this white group there called the the blacks got the NAACP. They had a group there called the NAAWP. National Association for the Advancement of White People or something like that. You know, and they interviewed a guy that was a member of that. And he says, oh, he thinks David Duke's a great man and this and that. And blonde-haired, blue-eyed, muscular guy, you know. But, that's changed a lot. If you look at the demographics of Dubuque now, a lot more buds there now. See, they won't leave us alone. Don't bitch and complain about how bad we are. We have our own towns, and we have towns that are still predominantly white. I mean, look what the system did to Rochester, Minnesota, and Lewiston, Maine. Two of the whitest, fucking literally whitest towns in the United States of America, our government relocated Somalian refugees there. They didn't relocate them into Washington, D.C., into the fucking hood. No, they had to be around a bunch of white people. How much longer are you going to obey the laws of this fucking land? What is it going to take for you to realize that your government, your elected officials, have sold you out? Sold you right down the river. What is it going to take? Are you going to wait before you're assaulted by a gang of niggers before you decide to do something? Are you going to wait until you're like the last white person living in that neighborhood, and by the time you are, you're like in your 60s and 70s, unable to fend off any, you're packing heat with me. Yeah, right, and you're caught with it, then they're going to put you in one of their POW camps. You have been sold out every way imaginable. Sold out. I know that word is thrown around a lot. Blacks use it to describe other blacks who climb the corporate ladder. You hear the word sell out a lot. But if the shoe fits, wear it. You have been sold out by Barney Frank, Chuck Schumer, Dennis Kucinich, Joe Biden, Madeleine Albright, every single swinging Richard on the Supreme Court, every single biped in the House of Representatives, every single overpaid piece of shit in the House of in the Senate, every single political whore in the executive, legislative, and judicial branch. The whole thing. They have sold you out. They pay you lip service. Remember, the hardest slave to set free is the one who doesn't know he's a slave. And that's you, white man. You're a slave, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. The lessons of the past will continue to play to mind of the mistakes our so-called founding fathers made. They were not interested in a racial homeland. That's true. But rather only cared about destroying the monarch. That was it. The Masonic order of these criminals never cared
about what was white. We called the Founding Fathers the Masonic Order of Criminals. Holy shit, that's pretty hardcore. They only wanted to destroy the aristocratic systems of old. Jewish interests could not fight the monarch or aristocrat systems very well, especially against religious dogma that kept leading to them being kicked out of their host countries or forced to convert to Christianity. True, they still controlled the wealth of many countries, but an aristocratic government always led to the Jews' trouble. Our founding fathers were not Jewish, however, but they still held a strong hatred towards the aristocratic government and their Masonic order. And their Masonic order did wish to form a new dictatorial system called a constitutional democracy. For the Jew, it was much easier to control the financial economy of a democracy, especially when we had people such as Alexander Hamilton. Remember, Tom Metzger told you many times that he's the guy that didn't want representation based on, what was it? Alexander Hamilton didn't want the Senate or the House. I don't remember which one he was against because he didn't want the people having any power. Tom, if you get this, maybe talk about it on the show again. Bears repeating. All right, Alexander Hamilton selling out the country, selling the country out to his Jewish masters. Well, I've heard there could have been thought that Alexander Hamilton was a Jew. I've heard that. I don't know how true that is. To his Jewish masters, and thus establishing the first national bank under the control of the Rothschild. What a good boy he was. The rest of the founding fathers were no better, mainly democracy, the republic, and the Constitution. Yeah, wasn't James Madison who said, and I quote, "Democracies are short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths." So the founding fathers didn't even want a democracy, they wanted a republic, but in the interest of their economic fortunes, I'm sure. Okay, what a good boy he was. The rest of the founding fathers were no better. Many openly opposed democracy, the Republic, and the Constitution. So why did they ever institute it? Your guess is as good as mine. Nevertheless, this was never a white homeland. That's right. I mean, yes, it was predominantly white, but the framers of our Constitution never had a racial thought in their head. I mean, they said in one breath, all men are created equal, but then they said that blacks are three-fifths of a person. So, you know, it really pissed me off. The founding fathers were very educated men. They were educated in the classics. They knew all about antiquity, about the Roman orators and the great writers of Rome. And they knew about Virgil and Cicero and Homer and all these great writings and stuff. And come on, they had to have known that the downfall of all those empires of the past was race mixing. All of them. Every single one of them. Race mixing played a huge role. Race mixing paved the way for a slave religion of Christianity to come on the scene. And that is the truth. A racial homeland would not and could not be governed like the former examples. If the stage was set to slowly build a political revolutionary party that could formulate a new economic platform, that's another thing. I don't worry about what kind of economic platform we're going to have. I don't worry about what kind of buildings we're going to build after we've won. And you shouldn't worry about that either. If you're listening to this show, recognize that you are in the age of destruction. Be the destroyer. Okay? There's going to be great guys that are going to come after you and be great writers and great orators and all that. Don't worry about who's going to build what or write what. They may even, you know, glean from the writings of the past that are, I'm talking about the future man, future white man. His past is our present. They may look at the writings of Jew and say, wow, this guy, we're going to, you know, canonize his writings, you know, like they did with Virgil and Homer and all the other classics. Could happen. That's when I'm at, when I have a positive thought in my mind. That's when I think about maybe universities being named after Metzger. The Metzger Institute of Technology. Tom Metzger Boulevard. Tom Metzger University. Absolutely. Man, God damn it. So we don't need to worry ourselves too much about any economic order or anything like that. We are the arsenic that is going to bring this system that is destroying us down. It is within the realm of self-preservation that you act offensively.
If you wait for confirmation, if you have a fucking mother standing in front of you, big muscular guy with hate in his eyes, with a fierce countenance and a menacing body posture, if you're going to wait to be slugged for confirmation that you're in danger, and that's what the white race seems like they're doing. Now, if we're going to show that kind of cowardice now, who's to say we're going to show we're going to grow a set of nuts when we are in danger? Fear begets fear. Conquer your fear now. If you wait till your backs are against the wall, it may be too late. You may be so used to running and being complicit with people or just not doing anything that you may not fight for your survival. We need men of action to take the offense now. Self-offense. So we don't need to worry about a new economic platform, a new educational system, legislative system, etc. For a white racial state geared to a racial economy and economic systems, such as was the case with National Socialism, then we should not have any problem. The people that are chosen to run the state are the most important, as they will be the leaders. One leading each office, i.e. Minister of Education, Minister of Economics, Minister of Foreign Affairs, etc. They must be completely indoctrinated with a racial philosophy. Absolutely. If you don't believe in the race, then you do not belong in that position. If not, then the creation of a nation state is useless. That's absolutely right. If our leaders are not going to be racially minded, then the nation state is useless. The United States government is completely, not only treasonous, but useless. Come on, man. You know they're only looking out for their rich banker buddies. What, you don't want to take my word for it because I don't have three letters after my last name, like PhD or LLC or anything like that? You can't look outside your door or look through the bullshit on CNN and Wolf Blitzer and his sorry-ass looking hairpiece and not see that it's all a dog and pony show? Huh? You're going to allow Anderson Cooper to do your fucking thinking for you? White man, you need to wake up. And you radio club listeners, you've already woken up. But what we need is a fire team sized element spread all over the country that will manifest self-offense. That is why I hope to gain enough people to start a movement. Listen, man. Daniel DeVille, who wrote this article, I like your spirit, bro, but that just won't fly right now. Zog will do whatever they can to sow seeds of dissension between us. We don't need another movement, a network to build an infrastructure similar to a shadow government. You know what? I don't know. I mean, the only way that could happen is if somehow a group of men came together that were never at an NSM meeting, a Klan meeting, a National Alliance meeting. They don't have racial tattoos. They haven't communicated in any chat box or chat rooms or anything like that. That's the only way that maybe that can happen. Because other than that, you're spoiled goods. Skjoldborg. A nice battle cry. Defend the race by brutal, ruthless self-offense. This network is to become international, stretching into every country which houses white racial activists. It should be composed of largely autonomous cells working independently in their area of expertise or experience. That'd be cool. But I'm telling you, Ghostwells, right now, don't look to build any cells. You can do a lot of stuff as just one man or one woman. One guy, you can do a lot. How many times have I thrown the phrase around flying under the radar? You can do all that to manifest 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. You can do it. To further our goals of the creation of a nation state and to awaken our racial full consciousness,
Without an elite force dedicated to our racial survival, fighting for this state, it will never come about. This force must become our leaders of tomorrow. Well, what you're proposing here can be too easily infiltrated. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, or I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade. What we need right now is individual men who will starve the sheep inside them and feed the wolf. Become a wolf in human shape. Abide by your own moral code and live fanatically for the survival of the white race in all your actions. And don't apologize for anything, even collateral damage. God damn the white race for not defending itself, for not fighting for itself, for allowing our women to be raped, for allowing our people to be assaulted, carjacked. If the citizens of Knoxville, since they're not up in arms, then fuck the white people of Knoxville.
Can't make it here anymore. Now stocking shirts in a Walmart store, just like the ones we made before. Except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin, or the shape of their eyes, or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No, I hate the men sent the jobs away. I can see them all now, they haunt my dreams, all lily white and squeaky clean. They never know want, they never know need. The ship don't stink and the kids won't bleed. The kids won't bleed in the damn little war, and we can't make it here anymore.
Funniest thing of all is the same people, the same class that shipped the jobs out, the Republican Party, the rich guys in the Democrat Party, the CEOs and all the big corporations, stockholders pushing for more profits, shipped all of the jobs out, closed everything down, and now they're crying. Oh, this is terrible. And the same bastards are trying to tell you, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, working man. You know what? When you start killing at the top, not at the bottom. 14 and 5 words.